It's time to swing into the golf world of today with Springdale Golf Live. Sponsored by our friends at the New Jersey Golf Foundation. Here's your host, Keith Stewart.
Members, friends, and players, good afternoon and welcome to Springdale Golf Live. I'm Keith Stewart, your host. Thanks for tuning in to Fox Sports 920, The Jersey. You know, folks, you can listen anywhere at 920thejersey.com. Just hit that listen live button. And you can catch me on social media at KJPGA. It's Twitter, Instagram. Come on, give us your feedback. Now, today's show plans to be an exciting adventure. Our special guest is a 20-year veteran of the PGA Tour. He's a tremendous player and just one of the all-time best golf personalities. His name is Andrew McGee, and he is on the line. Welcome to Springdale Golf Live. Andrew, how are you?
Keith, this is so exciting. Can I just say Fox 920, The Jersey?
Man.
I just sound so cool. I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona. My shorts are on. I'm thinking about playing a little golf this afternoon. How's the weather there?
The weather here is actually not that miserable for February. It's about 55 and sunny.
That's great.
Yeah, it's actually really good. You know, we had some snow this week, so the golf course is really wet. I don't think we'll see many players. But, you know, from a February perspective in Central Jersey, it's actually an exemplary day. It certainly is.
Sweet.
It's no Scottsdale, but we'll get by.
No. We got clouds today, man, but it's rained a little bit, which we love rain. It's exciting. I'm still going to go out there and bash it around Whisper Rock a little bit this afternoon. I got to work on my game. I played yesterday with Gary McCord.
Oh, boy.
And he just beat the crud out of me and made fun of me the whole way. So it he said, you need to go to the range, so I'm going to head out there today.
I would love to be a fly on the wall for that verbal
lip bashing.
Yeah,
he's not nice.
Yeah,
we played with Jamie Sedlowski, the long ball hitter guy.
Oh, geez. Oh, boy.
Oh, it was tremendous. He hit four drivers only on the par fives. And to say I'm hitting driver three wood and having an 80-yard sand wedge, he's hitting driver nine iron. I couldn't believe the sound. Gary said, stand right behind his ball. I tried to see the first one from the side, and I couldn't follow the ball. It took off so fast. So Gary says, stand right behind the ball so you can watch it closely. And it still kind of goes out of sight. It's so supersonic. It's like crazy.
It's unbelievable what these young guys can do, huh? These bombers. It's just crazy. It's just crazy. And folks, speaking of crazy, we have an ultra special guest here today. He's a four-time PGA Tour winner. His name's Andrew McGee. And when I chose the song of the week this week, Voodoo Child, I wanted to start the show with a little pizzazz, just to make sure that I could get you amped up for this. I know usually you're a little more laid back, but I didn't want you to be reserved today. You think you're ready with a little Jimi Hendrix to get your blood pumping here?
Oh yeah, I'm always fired up. I love Jimi Hendrix. Come on. Lay it on me.
I love it, babe. I love it. All right. Well, we already got into it a little bit, So 20-year veteran of the PGA Tour. But now that you're done with that stage of your golfing career, what is golf to you today? Like, you were just talking about you're going to go out and practice a little bit. You're playing some matches. Do you play a Nassau when you go play? What's golf like for Andrew McGee these days?
No. Golf's fun. I wish I would have known then what I know now, and it's easy to say for all of us looking back in our careers and our businesses that we're all involved with. I can have a lot more fun with it. I understand the situations. I understand getting angry or not making a good decision is just part of the game. And, I don't play for big money. I play with my friends to have a good time. We joke that we play for three things. We play for long putts, chip-ins, or hole-in-ones. The things that you just don't get very often or at all, So anytime you hit a bad shot under a green, you've got a 60-footer, it's like an opportunity to make a long putt and have a cool day. Or if you miss a green, that's another opportunity for a chip-in, which is part of the game. And, of course, all the par threes are like, all right, this is it. We got four chances for a hole-in-one. The reason why we play golf and the reason that we started is to make that first hole-in-one, wasn't it?
Oh.
So, we kind of play a different game a lot of times, but I just noticed playing with so many different people. I play with so many random guys in my job and at my club here in Scottsdale that I just see guys have expectations. And I just want to remind them that, expectations mostly lead to disappointment. driving to the club that day and you think you're going to have a good round, you don't deserve a good round. No one said you're going to play well that day. The chances are you're going to play poorly because golf is such a hard sport. So let's reduce those expectations and let's try to have some fun. I know it's hard to do, but let's just remember we're out here with our friends for fresh air for 4 hours. Let's give it our best shot. Let's be super over positive about every shot and every bluebird that flies by. Let's recognize the smell in the air and the wind blowing, and let's forget about our score and expectations. That'll just happen for you.
Well, I tell you, it's very refreshing to hear a PGA Tour playing veteran, someone who played for a living for so long, have this new refreshing approach to the game. It's almost like I'm going to take what we just recorded there, what you just recorded, and I'm going to email it to like the PGA of America or the USGA, so we can use that as like our PSA for why people should play the game. I mean, like 40 million people are going to go to Topgolf in 2018 because they're having a good time. And it sounds to me like out of Whisper Rock this afternoon, you're looking to have a good time. What do you have lined up for this afternoon for a match? Do you have anybody?
I don't. The cool thing about that place is there's a couple round tables when you walk in the men's grill there. There's anybody that's random or a single that's looking for a game. There are absolutely no egos at Whisper Rock. I don't care if you're a billionaire or, you know, the lowest totem pole PGA Tour guy that's there. I mean, we all get along. We all play with each other. It's fantastic that way. You know, I've got a few things in mind. I just didn't hit it very solid the other day. Not that I'm a practicer whatsoever, but I'm just going to go out and hit 50 balls and just try to make a little better contacts. I do have a game tomorrow with my great friend Willie Wood, Champions Tour player. I met him when I was 16 on the junior links, and I think he was the number one junior in the world or in the United States when we were 16. And I went to the University of Oklahoma. He went to Oklahoma State. We played the tour together for all these years, and now he's a member of Whisper Rock also. So we love playing with each other. We just crack each other up. You know, he makes more long putts than anybody I ever play with, and you know, every time he steps up on the green, he's got a long putt. I go, uh-oh, watch out, here it comes. You know, and it's all fun. We all root for each other.
Well, you know, this is just another example of why golf is such an extraordinary lifestyle game. You met Willie when you were in your teens. Then you were at the two biggest rivals there could be in golf and college, where, and folks, we're on the line here with Andrew McGee, three-time All-American there at Oklahoma back in the day, right? And So you were competing against your good friend Willie Wood, who you grew up playing golf against, and now you look at it 10, 20, 30 years later, you're still excited about getting together with Willie and having a match tomorrow, and you know, not a professed ball hitter, but you're actually going to hit 50 balls today because you want to make sure that, you know, you two could still compete a little bit and have some fun. I mean, that's what's so great about golf. But since you don't play golf full-time anymore, what are you up to these days? You know, for my listeners who were fans of you back in the day, you know, what are you into these days?
I've made a huge lifestyle change. I actually live in the neighborhood. If you call Amenia, New York, or up in 90 miles north of Manhattan, the neighborhood, I work up there with Brian Kroll. I know everybody knows him in the Met section there. I work in sales at the Siler Ridge Field Club. It's one of the latest Discovery Land Company golf courses. Of our portfolio of courses, I'm sure people recognize Baker's Bay in the Bahamas or the Yellowstone Club in Montana. Siler Ridge is one of those that we're building 90 miles north of Manhattan, and it's a fantastic Fazio golf course. And I'm up there selling homes to mostly Manhattan guys. So it's extremely challenging but extremely fun and a complete lifestyle change. I get to use my golf skills minimally because we don't have a whole lot of golfers there, but I'm sure as their houses get built, I think the golf situation will increase. But it's a complete education coming from the South and the West to move up to the Northeast and to learn a whole new language, so to speak. and have a good time with all you guys.
Well, on behalf of the entire golfing population up here, I would welcome you with open arms, and I would usher to everyone to please take notes on some Southern hospitality from time to time that we could learn from you. You know, as sort of a reciprocal relationship.
Hold the door open for your friends behind you.
You mean you're not supposed to
all these little things?
You're not supposed to fight your way through the door from both sides.
Right. You know, you don't do that.
All right, so one of the cool things this week is that the PGA Tour is in a major metropolitan city, and you having been on tour forever, I'd love to hear about some of your experiences or get a player's perspective about what's going on at the LA Open or the Genesis Open or Riviera Country Club this week. Do you have a couple cool Riviera stories you could share with my listeners?
Oh, do I ever. It's one of the all-time greatest golf courses on the PGA Tour. Most of your listeners will probably guess every course every week on the tour is fantastic. Not so much. You know, a lot of courses are picked because they've got great parking areas for lots of fans, or they're somebody else paid to get them on that week, like a Herb Kohler at Whistling Straits would buy the PGA Championship. Riviera stands alone. That's why you see the field is so good. That's why you see the field is better than Pebble Beach last week, better than the Phoenix Open the week before. Guys were padding their schedule to play at Riviera. That's one of the most iconic. George Thomas, the designer, is famous for designing the triangle of courses there in L.A., L.A. Country Club, and Riviera, kind of in a triangle. And it's just so cool because it has these nuances of angles. I didn't know how to play it when I first got there as a rookie. As a young guy, I was trying to overpower it or just, you know, hit the ball at pins I shouldn't have gone at. And as I learned over the years to miss it on the correct side, never short side yourself, and learn the angles and learn how to manage my way around that course, it really helped. It was a funny story. One year, I played tennis with my caddy. I was staying in a really nice house around the corner there in Brentwood. We had a tennis court in the backyard, so we played tennis all Wednesday in the Pro-Am day. Well, I woke up Thursday morning. I was as sore as I could be. And we were teeing off early off the front nine. I shot the course record 28 in the front nine. So when I got to the 10th tee, everybody was starting to gather. Oh, my God, this guy's going to shoot 55 at this pace. And, of course, I heard the murmurs in the crowd, and I ended up shooting 38. But I do have the course record on the front nine at Riviera. After really paying attention, again, you don't have to be totally lucid on your game. I was just managing my game around the golf course. I knew where not to be, and I made some chip-ins. You know, I had two chip-ins during that round because I gave myself opportunities where I hadn't in the past. So that's a good lesson. And I didn't have my A game, but I knew where not to be and where to give myself an opportunity. And I made some long putts. I hit some great shots for some easy birdies. Ended up shooting 28, which still holds up today, 7-under on the front nine. Easy way to remember my score was 28-38.
Well, what a tremendous story. That's pretty cool. So you talk about the nuances of the golf course. So give me your perspective on why somebody like Tiger's never had a good record there, but somebody like Bubba Watson does.
You know, I think Bubba's just much more creative. You know, it takes a lot of imagination there. I don't think Tiger curves the ball like Bubba does, like Phil does. Phil really curves it. He's got a little more imagination than Tiger, I think, when it comes to hitting shots into the greens. It takes a little more creativity, I think, is what sparks Phil and Bubba's interest. And, of course, they're lefties. So I think that fade off the tee there always helps a lefty on some of those holes in the back nine coming down the stretch. You just have to play there enough. And I know Tiger's played there a whole bunch, but I just don't understand why he really hasn't played well, because he does have great imagination. But he doesn't hit the same kind of curveballs that those other two guys hit.
Yeah, that's definitely a great observation there, and certainly something that obviously leads to their success, because Phil has a tremendous record there too. So here's the deal, Andrew. I got to go into break right now, but hold on the line, and we're going to talk to you some more after we come back. We're going to do definitely some rapid-fire Q&A, and we're going to talk about maybe growing the game of golf and having some fun. So at that point, we'll be back in a minute. Folks, it's 3:15 p.m. here in Princeton. It's 12:15 p.m. for our friends in L.A. at the Genesis Open. Thanks for listening to Fox Sports 920, The Jersey.
The New Jersey Golf Foundation, the charitable arm of the NJPGA section, is committed to positively impacting lives and communities through the game of golf, with a focus on three core pillars: youth, military, and special needs. The NJGF delivers dynamic programming under the guidance of PGA professionals, so individuals from all backgrounds can experience the game of golf in a welcoming environment. To support the NJGF or learn more about programs and special special events, visit njgolffoundation.org. That's njgolffoundation.org. Let's get back on course as Springdale Golf Live continues on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Once again, Keith Stewart.
Welcome back, Springdale Golf Live, folks. Keith Stewart, you're listening to Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Let's get a little guitar here. There it is, the song of the week, that Jimi Hendrix, Voodoo Child. And I'm so happy and excited that we have a little Voodoo Child on the phone, a PGA Tour veteran by the name of Andrew McGee. He was great in the first segment, talking about shooting 28 on the front nine, course record for the front nine at Riviera Country Club, where the PGA Tour is this week. And let's bring him back on, and let's get to our own back nine here in the second segment of Springdale Golf Live. Andrew, welcome back.
I'm not sure if I'm understanding the whole Voodoo Child thing, but I appreciate it.
Well, don't read too deeply into it. I really just like okay. The guitar riff. You know,
perfect.
It's not implying anything past superficial. That's for sure. All right. So one of the things that's interesting, and you and I have talked about this before, is that the PGA Tour is really popular right now. There's a lot of characters. There is a lot of storylines. Going into this year, 2019, what are you most excited about for the PGA Tour? Is there some that you're a fan of that you can't wait to see?
Well, I'm a fan of the majors. I'm a fan of the Ryder Cups. I'm a fan of the big, large tournaments that mean the most to the biggest stars. I don't tune into all the smaller, medium-sized events. You know, I do kind of look on Sunday to see who's leading and if it's worth tuning in. But I made my Masters reservation yesterday to fly down there. I've done the last 12 Masters with the BBC 5 Live team. So right now, every player in the game who's playing well is focusing it on that first major. I mean, I heard Rory McIlroy on the telly the other day talking about the first major. All the players are working on their games. They're thinking about the shots they're going to be hitting at Augusta and how they're going to approach this first major, because if you win the first major, it kind of really sets you up for an unbelievable opportunity year. And they don't come around very often. So if you lose that first major, you know, now you're going like, okay, I've got to get the British and the U.S. now. And so that this first major is huge for me. Being there, sitting in the stands and watching these guys go about their business, it's a little different than when I was on tour. It's just a whole, these guys are in better shape. They're hitting the ball so far, the compression, the sound of the hit is different than when, I mean, I'm not that old. You know, I'm just a few years removed from the Champions Tour, but it's a different world. These guys, their technology has changed a ton in the last 10 years. Just the sound of the shots, Jamie Sedlowski yesterday just blew me away, the compression these guys hit. But I'm excited about the big tournaments, the majors. Who's going to capture these? Who's going to pad their career, you know, with winning some of these events? Is Rory McIlroy going to complete the career Grand Slam? You know, is Cameron Champ going to win one this year? Who's going to do what in the big stages?
Yeah, can Phil complete the career Grand Slam at Pebble Beach? He just won there last week, right? And of course,
Phil is amazing.
44 wins, right? And just unbelievable golf talent. I mean, a lot of people get excited when a guy has 6 or 7 wins, or Dustin Johnson approaching 20, and Phil's got double that. And you know, Tiger in another stratosphere with 80, but Phil with 44 wins, that's great.
Testimony to flexibility. You know, Vijay Singh, long, sinewy muscles. You know, a nice, long, slow swing that's not fast twitch that gives you longevity. Freddie Couples, you know, so if you're out there thinking about a nice, long career and playing great golf at your club, you know, just go ahead and go past parallel a little bit. You know, use your hands and your wrists more just to kind of slap at it and be longer. You know, there's three things we all need for maximum club head speed. It's a little bit of wrist talk, it's arm swing, and it's body rotation. Most people I see have 2 out of 3. So go ahead and try to get all those three elements in it. Give you some, go ahead and go past parallel like John Daly a little bit. Get some flexibility in there. Do some stretching. You know, that's going to help, you know, make your career longer and more fun. And, you know, you won't break down as much.
You know, that's some great advice for my listeners. Now, you brought up those 3 points to gain in some clubhead speed: wrist cock, arm swing, and rotation. And you mentioned that usually you see 2 out of 3. What's the one you see lacking the most?
Wrist.
Not enough wrist cock.
I don't see enough arm swing and wrist cock. And, you know, I make that point because of Phil Mickelson last week. I know Phil is working with a friend of mine, Andrew Getson, a wonderful teacher out here. And I talk to Andrew all the time, and he tells me that's what they're working on. Is when, you know, when Phil gets in trouble, he tries to rotate his body too much. He's trying to hit it too far with the young guys. And to always get back into starting to swing with the smallest twitch, your fingers and your left hand, to start the club back, cocking your wrist. I'm sorry, I'm doing it right-handed. Cocking your wrist first to set that club, and then arm swinging it in there. So they're talking about arm swinging a lot more right now, which Jim Flick taught me in the 80s. And when you get in trouble, you know, don't turn your body first and have your club follow. Have your body follow your arm swing and make it a beautiful ground up swing, like you're a coil spring. You know, and it's I see that from Phil. That's what I like to see last week, and he's played great golf this year. I mean, for his age, and that's unheard of.
He's played great for about a year because he's coming into Mexico this week as the defending champ. Pretty much the only place he didn't play great was France. You know, he played good.
No one did.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Hey, folks, we're here having some fun today on Springdale Golf Live. It's a beautiful Friday afternoon here in New Jersey for February. Then we have Andrew McGee on the line. The man played in more than 600 PGA Tour events. He had 64 top 10s, so 10% of the events he played in, he was in that top 10, and he had 4 wins. And just as you've heard already throughout the course of the show, just an unbelievable fun golf resource. So one of the things that's a major topic of conversation in the last month or so on the PGA Tour has been the idea of caddy compensation. And I'm a big Matt Kuchar fan, so I'm not going to pull him down into the mud here. But I was wondering, since I had a player on, from the player's perspective, could you give the fans of the show maybe 1 or 2 really good caddy stories and, you know, try to explain from Matt's point of view that we decided what we were going to pay, and that's the deal.
Yeah, I don't know all the ramifications about the story. I'm a big Matt Kuchar fan also. I think everything he does is great. I understand he didn't pay him enough as what the caddy expected. You know, I'm surprised. Matt's got a bunch of cash, and it's just not turning out well. I keep on hearing on the radio driving in here to do the show today. I heard on the radio again on a random sports show in Phoenix. So it's certainly making the rounds. But you know, caddies are an interesting breed. They can certainly help you a ton. Most of my caddy stories are dirty.
Okay.
So I can't really tell you. But
we'll
I've got
to skip
one funny
that,
story. In 1988, my third year on the PGA Tour, one of the final tournaments of that year was Pensacola Open. And at Tiger Point, a new Jerry Pate designed golf course, and my caddy I had signed up with was coming back from Australia and couldn't make it. So I picked up a local caddy, like Matt Kuchar, in the parking lot, named Levi. Just a beautiful, tall, black man that was so sweet and elegant all week long. I was hitting the ball so well. I didn't really need a whole lot of caddy advice, and he didn't speak at all. You know, he just smiled and handed me the clubs. I was in the lead and tied for the lead most of the whole tournament. So there wasn't much to say, I guess. But on the 71st hole, Levi spoke. He said, I had 10-footer for par, and I was tied for the lead. And he goes, "Pro, you better make this one." And, you know, I pulled out my trusty bullseye putter that we all had back then.
Sure.
And I stroked that right to left or right in the back, and went on to win the tournament on the 18th with a par. Ken Green, our friend from Connecticut there, made bogey to give me my first win. So, you know, caddies are really, really important. And did I pay Levi 10% back then? A caddy I found in the parking lot? That's a good question. I can't give you the answer to.
Yeah. Hey, you know, but, I mean, it's really not the point. What I'm trying to get at is that from your perspective, you know, there was an agreement between the two guys. Both sides fulfilled their end of the agreement. And everyone keeps talking about how, you know, Matt stiffened the guy. And I feel like, well, what if the caddy really wasn't that good? I mean, you just mentioned it there. You won an event, your first ever PGA Tour event, and the guy said one sentence to you all week. So
they didn't talk. He didn't help me with club selection or anything. So that's a great point. We don't know all those the stories behind the story. So, I mean, it's hard to criticize Matt Kuchar, and I hope he stays out of the press and doesn't even talk about it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the only reason I bring it up is because I could get a player's perspective from you and possibly a good story. And also, I just want to say, you know, from his point of view, the guy, you know, he lived up to the contract that they started in the beginning of the week. You know, what if he missed the cut? Does the guy get to complain that he didn't make enough money? So it's just one of those things. It's an interesting story, and I wish it would. I'm with you. I wish it would kind of go away. Real quickly here, folks. On Friday, February 22nd at 8:30 p.m., the Rock Ice Pavilion in Dunellen will host the most anticipated hockey game of the season. PGA professionals from the New Jersey and Philadelphia sections will put away their golf clubs and lace up their hockey skates for charity. Free entry with raffles and prizes on site. Proceeds to support the New Jersey Golf Foundation's lineup up for programming for youth, military, and individuals with special needs. Visit NewJerseyGolfFoundation.org to make a donation or stop by the Rock Ice Pavilion in Dunellen Friday, February 22nd at 8:30 p.m. to catch the action. So pardon my interruption to our interview there, but our major sponsor, the New Jersey Golf Foundation, is hosting their annual charity hockey game between the New Jersey PGA Pros and the Philly PGA Pros next Friday. And, you know, make sure if you're around that area of Dunellen, folks, go up there, 8:30, check it out, and see some really fun hockey between some golf pros. So it's certainly not NHL caliber, but it's for a good cause, nonetheless. So let's get back here with Andrew McGee and talk a little bit more about, you know, what do you think is one of the biggest changes you've seen on tour? And, I mean, I know you're talking about speed, but is it the condition of the golf courses? Is it truly these guys being athletes? What do you think is one of the biggest changes you've seen on tour in the last, like, 5 years or so?
Oh, equipment, you know, the obvious things. Equipment, the stiffness of the shaft, no lofted drivers, the condition of all the players, just the absolute power to overtake any golf course any given week. And that's what you have to do. I was taught early on that you make all your money. You know, I played 30 tournaments a year for 20 straight years. You make all your money in that year in six events. The rest of them, you know, you're going to finish in the back of the field or make some money. So you've got to really maximize your opportunities out there in those six events. And so these guys really go for it. I mean, they really go for it and try to win these tournaments. And that's why you see, you know, 18-under scores. Spyglass Hill out there last week, that's a really, really hard golf course, folks. That was one of the courses in the three-course rotation. 18-under Phil shot, that's incredible work. And that kind of weather, I mean, even Phil's has gotten himself in better shape to help compete with these guys. So conditioning, equipment, I think all the technology has helped these guys to perform. It's really quite incredible, I think, and for all of us older guys to watch this happening.
It's a great time to watch the game. And you know what it's a great time for, Andrew? It's time for our weekly tradition for our guests to do a little rapid-fire Q&A. So you up for this?
You ready? Okay, let's go.
All right. Who's better, Federer or Sampras?
Oh, Federer.
Favorite thing in your closet right now?
It's my gray new zipper pullover I got in Cabo San Lucas 2 weeks ago.
Sweet. All right, do you like to text or talk?
I like to text.
Superpower of choice. Would you rather have, like, superpowers like Superman or invisible?
I like to be Superman. I'll lift buildings.
All right. Scale of 1 to 10, how good of a driver are you?
I'm probably about a 6.
All right. What would you rather win, the Masters or the U.S. Open?
Not even close, the Masters. Every player would say that.
All right. Spicy food, yes or no?
Of course. I love spice. I live in Arizona.
All right. Bungee jump or skydive?
Boy, that's probably a neither, but I'm going to have to go skydive.
All right. Well, guess what? Andrew McGee, it's been great having you today on the show. Can't thank you enough. That music there means that we're heading out. You know, that 30 minutes goes by faster than you can believe.
Well, appreciate it, Keith. My first time to be on The Jersey, Fox 920. And that was a lot of fun. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye. Definitely to David on the board, all my listeners. Folks, I'm heading to Springdale, but where are you headed? Let the tower be your guide. And from Princeton to the Pacific Ocean, and of course everywhere online, may you all have a Springdale day.
You've been listening to Springdale Golf Live with Keith Stewart. Keith returns to the tee next Friday afternoon at 3 on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.